Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at the boot camp. Hope you're ready for the next episode. For this week, you get another rare solo episode with just me as I want to process some things I've been thinking about. 2025 has started with a bang, and this is perhaps, I'm not even going to say perhaps, it is definitely the busiest season of ministry I have ever found myself in. And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely enjoying so much of what's going on. It's been a little bit of chaos on a personal level and a ministry level. So we've had some version of COVID or the flu or something for the last almost month in our house. My son last week had a checkup on a x-ray that ended up with him having surgery and getting a screw in each hip, which he was miraculously able to just walk out of the hospital without crutches or a wheelchair. In the midst of that, some of you are aware of this, but many are not. Two new things have been added to my ministry plate at the beginning of 2025, really end of 2024, one of them. Just something for you to know about that you may hear more about as we go throughout this podcast. One is one of the first things I've done in ministry not related to church renewal specifically, so I won't spend too much time on it, but reach out if you want to talk. There's a much longer story behind it, but at the end of 2024, it became clear to me and a pastor friend of mine, Jason Trock, who's quickly becoming one of my best friends, as we prayed through some things and my wife and some others, that God is calling us to plant a house church. I know you probably have 10,000 questions. Feel free to reach out and we can discuss that further. So far, that's been nothing but a joy and just an incredible opportunity of ministry. At the same time, the church where I am currently a member, Mandarin Baptist Church, has taken another ministry opportunity, a great ministry opportunity that's a great fit for him and a great blessing for our city. And the leadership team and pastor have asked me to, at least until Easter, step in as the interim pastor at Mandarin Baptist, really mainly just filling the pulpit and leading some staff meetings. In the midst of all of this, I'm walking up to Mandarin Baptist Church the other day to lead staff meeting for the first time. And I had this thought, wow, there's a lot going on, but I'm at peace because I know that it's not entirely up to me. And I started thinking through this phrase, and I talked through it with the Mandarin staff, and I really wanted to talk through it with you guys on the podcast and then hear back from you. There's a difference between feeling the weight of ministry, like when Hebrews 13 talks about how we are to submit to our leaders because they have to care for our souls. And as a pastor, you read that and you think about the fact that I'm going to be held account to caring for people's souls as a pastor. There's a weightiness to that. And it's a good weight. It's not a bad thing. It's not a crushing weight. It's a weight that you're a part of something so much bigger than yourself. Pressure is a different word. Pressure is something that can feel crushing and isolating. Pressure comes from a wrong perspective of what it is we're doing in ministry. And so I want to dive into this tension between feeling the weight of our calling while not being crushed by the pressure to succeed. I know that we all feel this tension at different times and in different ways in ministry. We feel the incredible responsibility of shepherding God's people. But sometimes we can get caught up in the metrics and the numbers. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast and what defines as success. But I think there's a good reminder in 1 Peter 5:2-3 of what it is we've actually been called to do. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So think about that for a moment. Peter isn't talking about numbers or growth metrics. He's talking about a willingness to serve and exemplary leadership. He's talking about hard work. He's talking about doing things that we're supposed to do. And on this podcast, we have and will continue to talk a lot about the idea of not putting too much pressure on yourself. But we can also, in the midst of not this conversations about not putting too much pressure on yourself, relieve ourselves unintentionally of the weightiness of it. This is supposed to be hard work. And I'm 100% in agreement in kind of the train of thought that's out there these days of, it really stems, obviously, clearly first from Scripture, but Dallas Willard probably was really the first, I say the first, one of the more recent that really popularized the idea of the phrase, at least, eliminate all hurry out of your lives. And then these days you have others who have kind of taken that and run with that idea. Jordan Rayner, who we've had on the podcast, John Mark Comer writes about that. John Mark Comer's like, honestly, he's like today's Dallas Willard in a lot of ways. I've been reading a couple of books, though, lately by a guy named Paul Miller. These were recommended to me by Mark Halleck. And so I'm actually leading the replant team with North American Mission Board is going through Praying Life. We're going to be discussing it in a couple of weeks together in person. And then we're going to be going through Praying Church with the staff at Mandarin Baptist, where I'm the interim, and with the core team of the house church that we're now planting, we're going through Praying Church. My wife and I are going through Praying Life on our Monday morning Facebook. So it's a lot of places I'm getting to talk about it. And I did that on purpose, one, to give something in each of those areas, but two, to help me meditate on some of the truths in these things. These books, I recommend them because they're not just about like tactical strategies about prayer, but it's really about your heart and your relationship with God, your walk with God, and going against cynicism. Anyway, Paul Miller, he challenges kind of the pendulum swing of this big effort towards like almost a monastic contemplative life of just a lot of quiet and those things. And he challenges a little bit of where we can unintentionally take that too far. And he says the quest in A Praying Life, he says the quest for a contemplative life can actually be self-absorbed, focusing on my quiet and me. He says, if we love people and have the power to help, then we are going to be busy. Learning to pray, because this is what this book is about, is learning to pray. Learning to pray doesn't offer us a less busy life. It offers us a less busy heart. In the midst of our outer busyness, we can develop an inner quiet. Because we are less hectic on the inside, we have a greater capacity to love and thus to be busy, which in turn drives us even more into a life of prayer. So as I was walking up to Mandarin Baptist Church, and I'm sitting there thinking through all of these things and how I found myself in this situation where I'm the interim pastor of one church and not alone with a good core team and another pastor planting a house church on Sunday nights, I thought, man, I have gotten myself way out of my scope and ability to do things. And that's okay, because I'm in a good place where I have a quietness and a stillness in my heart that, yes, I have a lot going on, but I don't feel a pressure to succeed or to perform at this moment. And I say at this moment because I was talking to a good friend of mine who's been on the podcast today or before, Matt McNaughton, one of my best friends in the world, and just said, look, this is where I'm at. Man, check in on me regularly, and let's make sure that that stays. And I'd ask you, listeners, like, I will let some things drop. I'm not posting on social media personally much at all right now. I'm very limited in how much I'm accessing social media because I'm in this unique season that I just really want to be focused in on the things that God has put on my plate. But even with the podcast, I'm going to record the podcast, and I'm going to get episodes out there, hopefully every week, but maybe not every week. as things go, but I'm not taking the time to build out social media posts for these. If you want to do that, reach out to me. Let me know if you want to be that volunteer. But it's not a bad place to be in complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. John Ortberg says this. He says, there's a world of difference between being busy and hurried. Being busy is an outward condition, a condition of the body. Being hurried is an inner condition, a condition of the soul. So let's think on that. Of, you see, Jesus never called us to succeed in the way that we often think about success. And we talked about it again a lot on the podcast. He's called us to be faithful. In John 15, Jesus uses the metaphor of the vine and the branches. Andrew Murray comments on this passage saying, what a life would come to us if we would only be consented to just be branches. Dear child of God, learn the lesson. You have but one thing to do. Only be a branch. Nothing more, nothing less. I was thinking about this the other day also when I was reading in Exodus, going to the Gospel Project in our small group Sunday school classes at Mandarin, and I was looking at the book of Exodus as we're in that right now, and I was looking at my journaling Bible in Exodus 33, and talk about a leader, Moses, feeling the immense weight of his calling, and he has a great prayer that he asks. He says, please, God, show me your glory. I had written in the margin of my Bible there, do you see your calling as one that you can't accomplish without God? Good, because only God is able to do the work of God. I love that prayer of please show me your glory. Really, I love the idea. I got to, while in Kansas City several weeks back, meet with Jim Elliff. Jim Elliff leads founded a network of house churches in Kansas City called Christ Fellowship Kansas City. And I really like the way that they have approached doing a house church in a very biblical way that seems to continue to elevate a high view of what church membership is about and scriptural authority in the church, and it's not as loosey-goosey as a lot of house church things that are out there. And I was talking, Jason Trock, the other house church pastor with me, came up there, and we were talking with Jim Elliff at dinner, and he said, one of the most important lessons we have learned in this process is that we need to always be asking the head of the church, what is it that you would have for me to do? It's his church. He's the one that cares about this more than us. And so I think we've got to be willing to see our calling as one that we can't accomplish without God. That's a great thing. Drew Dick challenges this in his book, Just Show Up. He says, when God calls you to do something, his abilities matter more than yours. The one who sins is more important than the one who goes. It really isn't about you. In Psalm 144:1, it tells us that it is God who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Yes, we work hard, we prepare, we study, we do all the hard work of ministry, preparing for battle. We do all this knowing that God is the one preparing and strengthening us. See, there's such a dangerous place to be when we live under pressure to perform, when we live under pressure to be successful, to succeed. But there's also a danger in just sitting and functionally being a hyper-Calvinist to the point that we are not taking ownership for the things that God has called us to do. And so I've just been challenged a lot in my own walk to be hard at work, be present where I'm at, set goals that are inspired by and informed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that are not about my glory, but to be chasing after what God has for me. I think a lot of this, I'm just telling you, as a listener who's maybe been a part of listening to this podcast for a while, or maybe this is your first one, of just in my life, man, as I've entered into just a unique and different season, it has driven me to my knees. And I'm enjoying the sweet fellowship it's given me with the Lord. And I want the same for you. I want you to experience what it's like to be independent. I'm sure you have felt that already and desire to continue to grow in that. So make sure that you're doing ministry for the purposes that God has called us to do, the ministry that he's called us to do. Another book I was thinking about is a book called It's Not Your Business to Succeed. Your Role in Leadership When You Can't Control Outcomes is the name of the book. And in that book, it has this section that says, faithful leaders get up every morning and run toward their calling, trusting that God is in heaven, doing as he pleases, as we see in Psalm 115:3. They are eager to show the Lord, they are eager to see how the Lord will choose to use their faithfulness, knowing that their work has an impact on the lives of those around them. Yes, the victory of the battle is God's, but you have to get the horses ready. Yes, the Lord is watching over the city, but you have to stay awake on your shift. Keep your eyes open and warn the city when a threat comes. Psalm 144:1 that I was just talking about says, David says that it is God who trains his hands for war and his fingers for battle. David is doing all the training for war, but he acknowledges that it is ultimately God who is preparing and strengthening him. See, faithful leaders are the hardest workers. They just think differently about their work. They go after the hardest work, but they say with every task, God, you're responsible for the outcomes, and I trust you. It is not our business to succeed. Our job is to do what is right and then trust God for the results. Well, this, the difficulty with such a mindset is the level of surrender that is required to maintain a lifestyle of faithfulness. One, surrendered control. I do not control the outcome of the things in which I give myself. Two, surrendered identity. I am not what I accomplish. My identity is not tied to my results. Three, a surrendered work ethic. I'm not called to an unsustainable pace. If the pace required for the work is unhealthy, then maybe the work isn't from the Lord. And four, I'm called to surrendered purpose. I pursue the things that are important to God, the things that reflect his heart in the work that I do. The author of that book goes on to say, this is a unilateral surrender permeating every area of our lives. There's no aspect of our minds, possessions, and passions that remains untouched by our complete surrender to the Lord. In each domain of our existence, we hear the resounding call. He then says, faithfulness is a daily commitment to diligent dependence, hard work, surrendered to God for the results. The faithful leader leans in, works hard, and trusts all the results and outcomes to the Lord. It's one of Jesus's most famous and masterful parables, where he takes us to John 15 and calls us to be the branches because he is the vine. So there is this important aspect of a deep dependence in abiding in Christ. Abiding in God is confessing that without him, we can't be fruitful. And it's laboring to stay close to Christ. It's in trusting that God will bring fruitfulness in his timing. We just have to do our job of leaning in on him. And so I would ask you, listener, to pray for me and with me in this season, that God would continue to grow my affection for him and my dependence on him, and would use me in this season, where a short season of an interim, and just this sweet season where we're planting a house church, which sounds a lot more involved than it really has been. We have met once a month, September, October, November, and December, with a group of believers that were not plugged into a local church, and really out of an appeal to help them find a place to belong and encourage them to belong to a church. in the midst of that, God has brought us some other people, and we've just seen some interesting things happen. So through seeking wise counsel of some mentors and friends, we feel confirmed and affirmed in the call of the Lord to establish this thing as a church, which is never anything I would have had on my bingo card for 2024, 2025. I would have never imagined this is something I would be doing. So now we will be meeting, gathering with these people twice a month, the first and third Sunday night of each month, and simple gatherings. And then the other Sunday nights, our core team, which is my family, Jason Trock and his family, and then the host home family, because we're not meeting in my house, but another house of a couple who actually were the first people to come and ask us to prayerfully consider this, and working through some of those things. And while at the same time, so we're meeting with everybody twice a month. I'm preaching one of those. Jason's preaching the other. And I am cheating a little bit in the sense that I'll be preaching something that I'm also preaching as interim at Mandarin Baptist Church. And Mandarin's a good church. It's a healthy church, a great church to have been a part of as a member. And now to get to serve as interim with a good staff. And so I'm enjoying the weightiness of ministry, but trying to avoid the pressure of performance. In the pressure of performance is where we find ourselves feeling anxious and overwhelmed because we're not measuring up. In the weightiness of a calling, we can find freedom and empowerment from the Holy Spirit. So this is going to be a shorter episode this week. One, to give you an update on some things going on in my life and ministry personally. And then two, just to talk to you a little bit about what it is I'm learning and I'm leaning in to the Lord for right now, is to continue to grow in the joy of the weightiness of ministry and be free from the pressure to perform. I hope you can feel the same, and I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it, and the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.